this morning, and we're going to share from continuously our series, Word of Knowledge. From last the week before, Pastor Jim has shared Word of Wisdom. And we read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 11. If you have the Bible with you, or you can read directly from the screen. That's both, we go both ways, that's okay. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good, edification of everyone. That's what common good means. Verse 8, to one there's given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another miraculous power, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. And all this are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he continued, to be continued. I think we kind of caught words there. But he distributes them to each one just as he determines. And praise God, he gives each one of us a gift. And one of the most important gift is the word of knowledge. And you might remember, recall on the other week, that's several people minister up there, and then they share from the word that they believe from the Lord. They say, I believe someone here today might have certain type of maybe health issue. And people respond. And after that, we pray for each one of the people that respond to God. And word of knowledge sometimes could come from the pulpit when any one of us share from the platform and from the word of God. And you just feel that this morning God is speaking to me personally. That's what happened a lot of time, also happened to many of you when you speak to a brother or sisters. And this brother and sister may not intentionally know what's going on in your life. And then when he or she speak to you, you just feel like, hey, God is speaking to me this morning. And sometimes when you speak to people and you don't mean to say anything, but people just have tears in their eyes, and you may wonder what's happening. And this is the word of God, word of knowledge. This is what we are talking about today, this morning, word of knowledge. It's important because we receive a lot of things every day. We might receive from our co-workers. We might receive something from this world. It might not be edifying. It might not be uplifting of our spirit. So we need word of knowledge every day. We need the word. We need God's word every day in our life. Amen? We need God's word to flesh. Fresh every day, to flush us, to cleanse us from inside out. And I heard from a 30 years or 40 years of Christian, and I heard from him, and he's talking to another Christians. And this Christian says, I have read 40 times the Bible. He's so proud. Yeah, I've read 40 times the Bible. And the other person responds by saying, I have read many times of the Bible, but I'm just lack of repenting a lot of things. So I mean, I so honor and so admire what this Christian has said, this word. And he says, I need to repent. I need to respond to God every time I read the word. It's not only to read the word, but to act upon it, to really do things that God has been speaking to us. And but that is the hard part. Sometimes it's easy to share or to say, to read, but there's another things to really act upon it, to really follow through what God has been speaking to us. And I'm sure it's not easy for each one of us. That's why we have the Old Testament. The Old Testament is the history of Israel's failure. Say, Pastor Stephen, are you trying to make us confused? Why does God not speak to us? Or the Old Testament, why not writing a lot of about victory, a lot about winning the souls? And why is Old Testament all writing about the failure of human being? From the beginning of the Bible, from the Old Testament, and we read, God created the heaven and the earth. And then not alone, and we see our ancestor, Adam and Eve, fall. And so on and so on and go on and goes to Abraham and go on to the history of Israel. And they fail God, and God saved them, and they fail God again, and God saved them again. In the book of Judges, right? In the book of Judges, we see a lot of failures of his chosen people. And why does God put all those failures in the Bible for us to read? Why? Because God wants us to learn from the Word, and how can we get away from that? And we can learn from it. That's the word of knowledge. That's the word of God in our life. And some of you may ask, what's the difference between knowledge, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and the prophecy, right? You might have a question about that. Knowledge, wisdom, and prophecy. Briefly, the knowledge is about current situation, right now, present situation. You might have fallen into some difficult situation, and our brother, sister just speak to you and just open your heart, right? So word of knowledge is usually about present, current, and the word of the prophecy is usually about the future, about something going to happen, not yet happen. We can see from the Old Testament all the way through, it's a lot of prophecy about the future. Even we can see the book of Revelation, a lot of things is going to happen, and we do not see it. But God wants us to have a heart of expectancy, and to really looking forward to Jesus' return. And he's coming back. He's coming back to get us. And why do we need to know need to meditate on Jesus is coming back. Because we have hope. Because we have a hope, not on this present world, because we have the hope on the world to come. That's what the kingdoms of God are all about. That's what Jesus has, his work has finished, and he will coming back and get us and receive us to him forever and ever. That's our hope. He's coming back. So prophecy is about the future. And the word of wisdom, it's about how to solve a difficult problem in our life. So a lot of time, if we face a dilemma, something that it's hard for us to face, hard to solve it. So we need a word of wisdom in our life to really move forward by the power of God. Like King Solomon, when two women went to him, everybody knows, remember this story. King Solomon met two women, just had a baby, and they kind of fight. That's my baby, because one of the women, accidentally probably, have the baby die. And King Solomon says, okay, come give me a sword. And the one woman just says, okay, don't kill the baby. Just have her the baby. Give the baby to her. And the woman who has the baby, who is the mom of the baby, says, I don't want it. Let her have it. And the other woman says, okay, just kill the baby. That's okay. Just cut into half. And then we can have everyone have a half. And King Solomon says, okay, don't worry about it. I know who's the mom. That's the wisdom. Wisdom from God. Word of wisdom. But today we're going to concentrate on the word of knowledge. Let's turn to Matthew 16. Okay, we might have cut in several words somehow because I use different computer. So we need the word of knowledge after that. So 13, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciple, who do people say the Son of Man is? They reply, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And 15, but what about you? He asked. Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. Praise God. So the word of God is from him, by him, is for him. So word of knowledge. So God, why Jesus asked the disciple, who do you think I am? And he wants the disciple to know that he is not one of the prophets in the Old Testament or one of the prophets God sent. And he is the one. He is the Son of God, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. So Jesus wants us to learn to know him in a personal and a truthful way. A lot of time we might confuse about who he really is, but he wants us to learn and to know who he really is. When I grew up in a Christian family, I have learned lots of knowledge about God. I have learned a lot of Bible story, about King David and about a lot of prophets and a lot of things in the Bible. Jesus turned water into wines. A lot of this kind of story. However, I have never related to God in a personal way. I rarely pray to him. I don't read the Bible every day because the Bible didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Until the Holy Spirit made a personal revelation in my life. Praise God. You may feel very frustrated when you teach your children because your children doesn't respond to God. Oh, you may have prayed for your friends for a lot while. And this morning, one of the baptism people, and he grew up in Methodist background. And he just feel God is so distant from him. And he doesn't want to respond to God until today, even though he baptized today, but he has wanted to baptize for a long time. And until one point, he wants to respond to God. He said, God, you love me so much. I want to respond to you. You lost me. You love me so much. And God wants us to respond to him in a personal and a truthful way. Praise the Lord. In the Old Testament, here comes my first point. God wants us to respond to him in a personal and truthful way. But it takes time. It takes time. In the Old Testament, God's chosen people, Israelites, have been in the wilderness for 40 years. Why 40 years? You know, from the place of Egypt to the promised land, by walking at that time, at most, takes about 3 months. Just goes to the promised land. It's easy. But why takes the Israelites 40 years from Egypt to the Canaanite land, Canaan land? Why? Why it takes so long? And many of you might answer, because of Israelites' disobedience. Right? We might answer that. But God has been faithful. And God has been faithful to lead Israelites out of Egypt and in the wilderness. And what is wilderness? Nothing there. And they feel needy. They feel needy for water, for a lot of other things. But God has been patiently leading his people. Because sometimes it takes time for God to show us who he really is. Let me say one more time. If you feel frustrated with your children or with someone you pray for a long time, he hasn't come to the Lord. But let me share with you from the Bible that God has always been patient with his people. Amen? God has been patiently with his people because sometimes it takes time for us to open our spiritual eyes to see who God really is. So it takes time. It may take years. It may take days. So we have heard a lot of people, they feel the end of their lives. So they stay in the hotel. They found the Bible. Right? We have heard this story times and time again and again. They found the Bible. They read the word. It touched their lives. Right there. So we all know that the Bible from the Gideon place, they give the Bible to every almost every hotel. So the word of God is so powerful, change people's life. So many people may ask, does God love Egyptian? Does God love Egyptian? No, he doesn't love Egyptian. He just wants to destroy them, right? He just wants to destroy them. Just a lot of time, an unbeliever offends us. We say, he's unbeliever. Just forget about that. He's unbeliever. He's Gentile. God, would you please judge them? And would you please destroy them altogether? Because they offend us so much. They don't know you. They deserve another place other than heaven. In Exodus 7, verse 4 through 9, say, and God says, he is Pharaoh. Pharaoh will not listen to you. You is Moses. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt, and with mighty acts of judgment, I will bring out my divisions, my people, the Israelites. And the Egyptian will know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt. Let me ask you, how many times God placed the pledge on Egypt? How many times? 10 times, right? Could God, this is what I ask myself, could God just bring one big disaster, one big pledge, and all together have a frog and have a wing and thunder and just destroy, wipe out Egypt altogether? Can he do that? He can do that, right? That's what God can do. God is so powerful. He can do whatever he wants to do. When he wants to judge his people, he can just destroy his people right away. And Moses asked God to pardon his people several times. And God can just wipe his people out. And God can just wipe Egyptian out all one time, not just wait 10 times. And the Pharaoh still hardened his heart and distanced from God and thinking that, hey, we're still safe, hey? Until the tenth pledge, kill his son. He said, okay, let your people go. Go. But he still wants to kill the Israelites. He still feels that I want to chase after Israelites. So he chased after until what sea? The Red Sea. He wants to chase still on the Red Sea. So why God take 10 times? Because God has been patiently, truthfully, and faithfully with his people, even though people don't believe in God. Hallelujah. God has been truthfully, patiently, and faithfully with you and me. Hallelujah. Let's say it all together. Can we? Truthfully, faithfully, and what else? Patiently. God's been patiently with us, with his people. So are we patient with our children? No. We're not patient. Because I need God to be patient with me, but I don't want to be patient with my children. Why? Because that's parents. Because you don't know my children. You don't know my children. Tell you. You don't know. You don't understand my children. You just don't understand my children, let me tell you. My children is like no other children in the whole world. It's just so hard. And I don't think God can ever, ever teach him, because I teach him, he don't listen. So I just feel so hard. Right? But we have a lot of amazing testimony. The children has come back to God. Not because what we can do, but because what he can do. He is powerfully, and he has been patiently with us and also with our children. So don't lose hope. Talk to your neighbor, say, don't lose hope. God is powerful. All right? So please don't lose hope. This morning, if you don't hear me say anything else, just remember this. Don't lose hope. All right? Why am I looking at the balcony? Because no special meaning. Just like you guys. Don't lose hope. God has been patiently, faithfully, and truthfully leading us through our troubles, through our trials. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. He loves who you are. He created you. He loves you. He has purpose in you. And through you, he wants to demonstrate who he is. Israelites, they made a golden calf. They made a golden calf to substitute God. And they want to feel secure of themselves. They want to grasp something tangible. That's what Moses has been gone to the mountain for 40 days. And we don't know what's going on with Moses. And we feel so insecure. So why don't we make something that we can feel secure, that we feel tangible, and we feel that we can grasp just with our hands and with our eyes. We can see who he is. Because when they made the golden calf, the idols, they had been away from Egypt. They have just witnessed the miracle of the Red Sea. They just witnessed the miracle of God brought 10 plagues to the Egyptians, but only 3 months, and they forget about it. Can you imagine? A lot of people says, if you allow God, if you allow me to see miracles, I will believe in you. See, a lot of people say that, right? It's nothing wrong to ask God for miracles. But Israelites, they saw miracles in front of their eyes, physical eyes. But physical eyes is one thing. The spiritual eyes is another thing. Hallelujah. Physical eyes is one thing. If we ask God for a lot of miracles just to satisfy our physical eyes, we might just gone in a second. Amen? So we need God to work on our spiritual eyes, spiritual heart. When you open our spiritual heart, it will stay forever and ever. That's what God is doing. God gives us the word of knowledge is for us to remember him, to know him, and to love him. So the relationship with Jesus Christ is extremely important. So when your son and your daughter know Jesus intimately, personally, truthfully, and he will not forget forever. That's what we are praying for. That's why we are passed our spiritual assets to them. That's why we can give it to them. We can give them money. The money can go. We can give them our word. Our word can go. But the relationship with Jesus Christ will stay forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Like King Saul, he waited too long for Samuel to come back over several days. Supposed to come back. Samuel supposed to come back to meet him and to give the offering because they faced the enemy very great outside. And the people left King Saul. And King Saul thought, oh, wow, Samuel broke his promise. He's supposed to come, but we are supposed to give the offering to God. But right now, it's very urgent, very urgent. We should give the sacrifice now because the enemy is very imminent. It's in front of us. It's very dangerous. I am so threatened. I feel so insecure. Again, insecurity creates hurry, right? So the king will say, come on, let us give the offering. We don't want to wait Samuel. Samuel is slow, too slow. So he just went ahead and gave the offering. As soon as he gave the offering, Samuel arrived. Let me say this. As soon as he gave the offering, Samuel arrived. So that's why I'm so touched by Pastor Dan's testimony. They've been waiting and waiting, waiting, and God gave them the answer. Praise the Almighty God. So sometimes God may require us to wait a little bit longer. See? Our limit. If this is our limit, sometimes God gives something a little bit over our limit. It's not just harm us. God doesn't want to harm us or to make us wait. Ha ha, I make him wait. I feel so happy. That's not God. God wants to give us a character of patience. One of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is patience, right? And we sometimes emphasize love. We sometimes emphasize joy. Sometimes we emphasize peace. What is the next? Patience. Is that important? No. It's not that important, right? But it's important. Throughout the Bible, many things God emphasized patience. When God gives us the character of patience, we can stand in times of trials. And God can make us stand. So please forgive us, Lord. A lot of time we don't have patience, but you brought us through. So, next, please. Knowing God. So God brings us a lot of situation. The purpose of that, he wants us to know him personally and tangibly and also truthfully. So we read this. And this is from Regent Professor J.I. Packer. Once you become aware that the main business that you are here for is to know God, most of life's problems fall into place of their own accord, is to know him. So our purpose of teaching our children is to have them know God personally. Personally, right? In Isaiah 31:1, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help, who rely on horses, who trust in the multitude of their chariots and in the great strength of their horsemen, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or seek help from the Lord. You know, Israel, at that time, they have a lot of enemy around, and they want to seek help. And a lot of time, they pray to God, God, please help us. And God help them to destroy their enemies, to help them win the battle. But a lot of time, if the Israelites, they don't trust God enough, they find their own help. They thought Egypt has a lot of good horses, but God has commanded them not to find horses in Egypt because they might have the heart of going back to Egypt. And they don't rely on God, but on horses. So here says, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help, who rely on horses, who trust in the multitude of their chariots and in the great strength of their horsemen, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or seek help from the Lord. That's what Israelites made mistakes, that they rely their strength on horses. So God sent prophets, godly men and women, to remind and warn his people the right image of him and the right worshiping attitude. Here comes my second point. God also wants to show to his people in a tangible way. And God wants us to experiencing him. Many of the Christian experiences cannot be learned through books. To grow in our faith, we have to meet with God in our daily walk with him. You may say to have his presence with us every day. Abraham may have been in tears by leaving his hometown to the promised land. He may have been in tears by bringing his beloved son for the sacrifice. So God rewards his obedience to be the father of faith. God allowed Joseph, everybody know Joseph, and many of your son named Joseph. God allowed Joseph to go through 13 years of prison. It's not easy. Remember, at that time, Joseph had no idea how long it would still take him in the prison. But later on, Joseph was then raised to become the prime minister in Egypt. Job was attacked and lost his family and had to fight off a skin disease. He suffered from the excruciating pain in his life, but he claimed at the end, saying, "My ears have heard of you." What the rest? "But now my eyes have seen you." Some people comment Job by saying Job received double for his trouble. All right? Is that a good word? Job received double for his trouble. God allowed the trouble happen in Job's life, but God reward double. You can count double of his donkey, double of his sheep, double of his cow, and double his blessings. So can we say, "Lord, please bring me some suffering that I can have Job's reward," right? "Lord, bring me troubles, bring me sufferings, because I want the reward double," right? We might not want to pray that prayer, right? Because we have enough trouble. No, just joking. Yeah, God will bring us to a place that he wants to put character in our life. And he wants to reward us. He wants to give us a lot more than we had before, right? So you are in the midst of suffering. God knows it. You are in the midst of the trials. God knows it. He patiently walks you through every step of your way. He patiently, He truthfully knows every step of your day. And He wants to walk with you, talk with you. He wants to carry you through. Maybe you wonder where God is when I am in troubles, when I'm in trials. Let me tell you, God is with us all the time. And God is watching us all the time. And God is helping us all the time. But He allows us to go through trials that we can grow as much as we like Him. He wants us to grow. He doesn't want us to stay in the place that we don't grow. So once we feel, we might feel that we want to stay in our comfort zone. Comfort zone feels good. Comfort zone makes us feel at home, right? Sweet home. But sometimes God wants to bring us to a sweeter home. Say amen. We like sweet home, but sometimes God wants to bring us to a sweeter home. That's His promise. He promised He give us double for our trouble. Say it with me. He wants to give us double for our troubles. Amen. So when we close, I want to say to you, God is with us. He is Jehovah Shammah. He is the one with us. Jesus is with us all the time. He saved us from all troubles. He saved us from the power of the enemies. He wants to bring us to the promised land. This promised land is full of honey and milk. It's more than we can imagine. He loves you so much. And He doesn't want you to stay in the comfort zone. So if you have trials, if you have some troubles in your life, that's okay. God knows it. God knows where you are. He knows where you are. He wants to lead you to He feels the best for you. He knows what's the best for you, right? So you may be praying for your children for a long while. Don't lose your heart. He is with your children. He's with you. So at this time, I want to invite Pastor Randy and the team to come back to the stage, please. So this morning, the word of knowledge for you is don't lose your heart, please. Don't lose your heart. God is with you. God is watching over you. And He's protecting over you. And He's always with you. He knows where you are. He knows where you're going through. He knows what's the best for you. Give praise to God. Give praise to Him. Hallelujah.